I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Welcome to the HIV podcast. Each week we focus on a person, historical event or pop culture moment linked to HIV and explore the story of what actually happened. I'm Sarah.
And I'm Jess, and between us we've been working in the field of HIV for 40 years. Our aim is to get as many people as possible HIV educated.
Welcome to the HIV podcast.
That is a lovely intro from one of our listeners that they sent in, so thank you very much. They didn't leave their name, so I don't know if they wanted me to share that or not, so I'm not going to start, you know, breaching people's privacy, Sarah. We can just enjoy their voice.
It's anonymous. Oh, the mystery. Maybe it's a rich Tory. Oh, I don't want them to be Tory.
No.
All the donors in this country seem to be Tory donors. We need to get in on that, Jess. Do you know what? I mean, I'm not fussy where our money comes. Well, that's not true, actually. I would think twice if a Tory donor contacted us. In return for your support at the next election, I'd like to give you £1 million.
We can't sell our souls. No, we're not selling our souls.
Definitely. It's not for us.
I should say, we've literally just this second finished recording an interview with BBC Berkshire, haven't we, about the Arias. I'm going to keep banging on about it. We've been nominated in the Impact Award category. And Sarah and I haven't really had a chance to debrief on this. I've got two things to say. A, I kept forgetting what questions I had been asked halfway through answering them and had absolutely no idea how to get through them. How did I sound from your end?
You sounded fine. I would always jump in if you start not making sense. I do the same, though. I think you start off with lots of gusto, don't you? Yes, I could answer this question. So that's a relief. And then you get halfway through and you're like, I'm going off on a tangent.
Yeah. What did they
bring
even ask?
Bring it back.
What's the point? I have no idea. I just do like a so they can hear that I've finished my answer. I do like that wind up voice. Do you know what I mean? Where you're sort of winding up the end of it, like winding up a call. Like, yeah, that's all you're getting from me. I have no idea if I've answered this. Absolutely none. But the second thing to say is, and I don't know if you considered this. So basically, Sarah and I are recording over Zoom. So obviously, we're speaking with the producer beforehand, and it is a video screen, but obviously their video isn't on. So Sarah and I turn our videos on because it's just nicer to see somebody else. And we can also sort of discuss between us who's going to take which question as they come up. But I realised halfway through, imagine if he could see us, because we can see each other. No. Oh, no. Me just pointing at you. You. This one. Yes. You. You answer. Me. This one's me. Oh, dear.
Oh, I'm sure they can.
Well, that's hideous. It's a bit like, you know, McDonald's drive-thru can see you.
Can they?
Yeah, remember that. So if ever you're like, oh, like rolling your eyes or whatever, there's a camera in the microphone, you know, that initial one that you speak to that says, oh, can I take your order? They can see you.
I always feel the need to shout when my kids say I shout whenever I'm... And also you become... Well, I become quite middle class. Like, hello, yes. I'd like, I don't even know what we order anymore.
Yeah. Yes, yeah.
A happy meal, please.
Yeah,
with a vegetable option.
And someone pointed this out on TikTok, and it's very true, and this is very true of a McDonald's drive-thru. It's the curse of being British is saying thank you constantly. It's like saying, can I have a quarter pounder meal? And they're like, quarter pounder meal. And you go, thank you. Can I have three chicken selects? Three chicken selects. Thank you. Like, we just can't stop saying thank you. Thank you. Do you take card? Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, we're just that polite. It's like when you have awful service and you go, no, no, it's lovely. Thank you. It was perfect.
Oh my God, that's my favourite, when you're moaning about a meal.
Hate myself for doing that.
Yeah. And you're going, oh my God, this is, I wouldn't pay, it's awful. And they come over and sit last. Lovely. Why do we do it? JY, because we hate the confrontation. We don't want the awkwardness.
No, but then you end up hating yourself because you're like, I'm paying for something that's really substandard and I'm telling them it's amazing.
Yeah,
where are my morals?
No, I am with you. I wish I could be that person. It's just like, oh no, this, you know, this wasn't very good, or, you know, it was supposed to come with this thing. I always apologize. If it's like, oh, this was supposed to come with this sauce, I'm so sorry. Like, are you bothering them? Oh, it does make me.
Oh, I know, I'm exactly the same. There's no cutlery. Could I have some? It's no bother. I'll eat with my hand. Nature's forks are fine.
I'll just put my face in the plate. Don't worry. Do you have a trough? Have you got a trough? I'll just use that.
Very similar, yeah, in that respect.
But yes, anyway, I went off on a tangent there. I hope they weren't watching us, because I feel a bit embarrassed now. Actually, I've got one more embarrassing thing to tell you about this whole BBC Berkshire debacle. So yesterday, Zoe wasn't in, so I was covering her phone, and BBC Berkshire called, but they called on the main line. So I answered as if I'm like the mainline person. So BBC Berkshire were talking to me and saying, oh, would Sarah and Jess be interesting? I said, oh, yeah, no, yeah, they definitely would. Oh, could they come into the studio? I was like, oh, they wouldn't be able to get into the studio because, like, I don't think Jess is like, you could drive that much at the moment and blah, blah, blah. And then at the end of the call, he said to me, can I just take your name, please? I couldn't stop myself, Sarah. I did it. I literally went, yeah, no, I'm actually Jess. So hideous. And I was like, I know I've just been talking about myself in the third person like I'm not me, but it's just because this is the Office mainline. He didn't care for the explanation. I sounded insane. Oh, I was acting like my own agent. Honestly, the shame.
Oh no, I did not know that.
That was an omen. It was all gonna, you know, not be good from the get-go.
No wonder he sounded so nervous when we both appeared on Zoom. Right, you two. Can you hear us?
Is it really you, Jeff?
We were a calamity.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, I have news.
Oh, yes.
I almost forgot I had any news. Right, here we go. We received, because I love reading out a message, you know I do. We received such a nice message. Actually, no, it wasn't a message, it was a comment. We received such a lovely comment from Adventure Girl Donna. This was under at Aria's video, and she said, amazing, well done. New to the podcast and have binge listened all the episodes since November. Although I shouldn't have sat in Costa listening to Romania episodes, was crying into my coffee. Keep up the amazing work.
Oh, that's a lovely comment.
Isn't that a lovely comment? But yes, Donna, avoid Costa for the sad ones. We should try and put a caveat at the start of the sad ones that are like, no public listening, guys.
That's true. Imagine binge listening to us. I can barely get through an episode, Jess.
You only have to do it once. I have to listen to it on the edit.
Well done her for listening to all of them. That's lovely.
I know. And welcome, Donna. Thank you for joining our lovely, lovely HV podcast community. We're so happy you're here.
We are. You're very welcome.
So what we got today? Tell me.
Today, continuing with my Olympic theme.
Okay.
We're looking at HIV and ice skating.
Wow. Are there lots of links? Well, we're going to find out, I guess, aren't we? That's what this is about.
Do you know, one of the reasons I picked ice skating, it is a bit like ballet dancing, isn't it, on ice? And you love ballet dancing.
Yeah, all of my broken dreams. For all of those of you that are new here, where I have teeny tiny feet, size 2.5. It's probably actually because of what happened. But when I was younger, I was a very good ballet dancer. And when I was 4 years old, I was offered an audition to the Royal London Ballet. And essentially, I got trained so hard by my dance teacher that in a very, very dramatic way, the hospital, the doctor said to me, my tendons were all messed up and I could never dance again. So it's, you know, like my broken dreams.
And we've never put it to the test in the office, have we? You've never done a plié?
Oh, no, but you should see my feet. They are dancer's feet.
How would I know that your feet are ballet feet?
Oh, because of the shape of them. The shape of my foot is like a beautiful. So when I point my toes, you'll see.
The shape of my foot is beautiful. Is it? I mean, I'm not going to lie. There's not much of it to look at.
When you point your toe, have a look at how your foot shapes. So mine has this beautiful curve on the inside when I point my toes. You know, good toes, naughty toes. No, right. good. So that's why you picked it anyway, to taunt me, Sarah, about my broken dreams.
No, I just thought ice skating is a little bit like ballet, right? It's connected to water. You love water. Ice is just hard water. All of these things tick boxes for you.
Who doesn't love watching the ice skating? I love it.
It's okay.
You still prefer athletics over ice skating?
Yes.
Just a bit of jumping. We can all jump around in the air, Sarah.
Could you do the high jump?
No, I literally, at school, I used to run up to it and then stop, turn around and try and jump. They're like, no, there's no stopping. Don't stop and turn around.
Oh, see, look, I'm not so keen on it because, I mean, it's icy, it's cold, health and safety nightmare. And also, I think, do you know what? If you're going to do any sort of winter sport, do something with minimal effort. There's a lot of effort that goes into ice skating. If I was going to do something for the Winter Olympics, I'm thinking the luge.
What's the luge? Is that the thing
where they lie on a tea tray and go down the track? They're just lying down.
Amazing.
Jess. I can do that. I'd want to do it. Well, I lie down to watch TV. I think there's not that much difference.
You've been in practice for many years.
Yeah, I'm at the peak now, I would say. Ready to go. Obviously, I want to be wrapped in a duvet and I want a hot water bottle. But apart from that, let's go.
Yeah. They might be like negotiable things, though, you know, the duvet and the hot water bottle.
Mm. They might slow me down.
You could use it as a sail, the duvet. Wonder if they'll let you.
I don't want to be flying off. I think the point is that you say on the ice.
No, like a sailboat. Not a hot air balloon. Like a sailing boat doesn't take off, does it?
Again, too much effort. Imagine that arm power you need to hold onto a duvet while you're going down the luge. I know. I just want to lie there.
The mental image I have
on my phone
is amazing. I think you probably need to steer it, but that is a good event.
Oh, do they steer it? Oh, there they. I don't have much spatial awareness. We all know this.
How about I've got the perfect role for you in the Olympics, right? And it's going to incorporate one of my favourite words in the whole world. Do you know what you can do at the Olympics, Sarah? You can drive the Zamboni.
What's that?
You know, the machine that clears the ice that has to come out. That big machine. It's called a Zamboni, isn't it?
I could do that.
Yeah.
But I'm more the Summer Olympics than the winter ones.
Oh, okay. Well, none of this is for you anyway, then. It's all a moot point.
Yeah, it is. Okay, so back on topic. Mm. This week, we are looking at an ice skater called Rudy Galindo. He was an American former competitive figure skater, born in 1969, and he was known for single and pairs skating. I always think the pairs figure skating gets more attention. Think Torvald and Dean.
That's all I think. Or, yeah. Obviously, who do you think of ice skating? You think Torvald and Dean, or you think like Tonya Harding and, what was her name, Nancy thingy?
Yes.
They're the things that come to mind when I think of ice skating.
Oh, see, when I think of ice skating, I think of that film with Will Ferrell in it.
Blades of Glory.
Yes, I love that film.
Oh, yeah, I do.
It's just brilliant. So that's my kind of reference point.
Okay, perfect.
To do with ice skating.
Perfect.
Right, so Rudy is a single skater. He was the 1996 US national champion and the 96 world bronze medalist. Pair skating, he's with his partner, Christy Yamaguchi. And they're the 1990 US national champion. Skating with his partner, Christy Yamaguchi, 1990 US national champions, surely.
Right,
surely,
yes.
That would be plural.
Yeah.
They're the champions.
Fingers crossed.
And he was the first openly gay skating champion.
Did other people feel that if they came out, there would, because of the time, not that there should be, but there would have been sensationism around that and it would have detracted from their sport and what they're doing?
Yes, I think so. So what we're looking at, late 70s, 80s.
Yeah,
it's still a big deal, isn't it, sexuality? Mm. But he goes against that. He's openly gay. Well done, nice. Rudy. Now, against his achievements, there is a backdrop of sadness. So his coach, who paired him with his skating partner, Christy, dies of AIDS-related cancer in 1989. And that was a huge shock for him. So he had kind of made the decision, should I do pair skating? Should I do singles? He prioritised pair skating. You know, they'd won the US Senior Championships in 89 and 90. And then Christy decides she wants to focus on her singles career and kind of forces Rudy to do the same because he can't find another partner that's at the same calibre as her.
That's really hard. But if your partner just decides they want to do that and you don't want to do it, you can't force them to stay, can you?
And it's probably something we'll discuss one day. A podcast pairing is very similar to a skating pairing.
Why are you leaving?
No, not me.
Oh, am I being written out? Is that what's happening? We've got an aria and Sarah's like, can we please get...
Yeah.
Now we're going places. Let's replace her.
But what can he do? She's decided she wants to go forward with single skating. And so he has no choice, really. So there's a lot of upheaval, isn't there? A decision's been taken out of his hands. His coach has passed away. So poor Rudy. And then there's more heartache. So his dad dies of a heart attack in 1993. His brother dies of AIDS in 1994. And then his new coach dies of AIDS the next year.
What?
I know.
That's so much for one person to go through. Just one of those would be a huge loss. Oh, my God.
Yeah. So it's a huge, huge amount of grief to deal with. And at the time, Rudy felt the skating establishment just wasn't supportive enough. And I think around where we early 90s, so stigma against HIV is rife, isn't it?
Yeah.
And I imagine it was like everybody else affected by HIV and AIDS, where people just take a step back and go, I don't know how to handle this, so I'm just not going to. And you're left to deal with it on your own. I mean, he took 8 months off at that point, which I think is completely understandable.
How do you even begin to deal with that? I actually genuinely can't imagine.
Also at the time, there's other controversy, as if he needs more stress. So he feels that when he is skating in competitions, he's being scored lower because he's less masculine than the other competitors. Hard to prove, though, that fact, isn't it? He's saying, look, my style is not masculine. It's very kind of a balletic style of skating.
I've never heard that, but is that what he said?
I made up a new phrase.
Well, I hope so.
So he's saying that I'm being scored down because my skating is perhaps more graceful than some of my male competitors.
And that shouldn't be the case.
I don't see why you should be penalised for having a different style. Surely everyone brings their own style to the competition. Mm. I don't know. Anyway, people disagreed with what he was saying, including Christine Brennan, a journalist from the Washington Post. And she said, you're scored lower than everyone else because you're not the best skater in the US. There you go, Christine, tell it
how
it is.
Oh, wow. Okay. Well, I mean, there is that too, right?
Well, I mean, skaters disagreed with what she was saying. So it's a controversial point. Some people like the style, some people don't. But, you know, that's life, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, he was one of the only skaters at the time who could do the triple axel, triple toe loop. I think there were three in America who could do that, three men, and he was one of them. So he's highly skilled.
That sounds dangerous.
We should watch it on YouTube and try it in the office.
Okay, I like it.
It's like pirouetting.
I know a lot
of ballet terms, don't I? Anyway, all this controversy spurs him on, to be honest. So the 96 National Championships, they were due to take place in his hometown, and he wants to take full advantage of that opportunity. So he resumed training in 1995 with his sister as his coach. And then in January 1996, he won the men's title at the championships. He was the oldest male to win this title in 70 years. Go,
Rudy. Wow. That is quite the achievement.
So he's done well. So he's using all of that negativity and all of that trauma and putting all of his energy into training and winning the championships.
Yes, good for him.
So the win focused a lot of attention on him, as it would, but more so than other top skaters. And really, that attention was because of the kind of triumph over tragedy angle the press could take. Which is a shame, isn't it? Because I think it detracts from his achievements.
Yeah, I think that's... Yeah, I do. And maybe he doesn't want to constantly be reminded of the tragedy.
The press love that, though, don't they?
Oh, yeah.
Out of a tragedy comes this amazing win and... Yeah, but for him, you're just putting him through it all again. You know, he's being interviewed and he's having to kind of reflect on what's happened again and again. So that is not easy. They also focused on the fact that he was the first Mexican-American champion and the first openly gay US champion. Why can the press never just focus on the achievement itself?
Yeah.
This will happen to us as we do more interviews for the Arias, because the press are very interested in this. They won't focus on that achievement. They'll refer to your tiny feet and me not being able to string a sentence together.
We should probably mention that Sarah and I obviously knew the Arias were a really big deal, but Sarah and I are rapidly learning just how much of a big deal they are. And everyone that we speak to in the radio industry keeps describing them as the Oscars of radio and audio. So, yeah, I've even forgotten here what we were talking about, but I just thought I'd add that in, Sarah.
Oh, Jess, you're so one-dimensional these days.
Aren't I?
Just all Arias, Arias, Arias.
It's all that's on my mind. Back in the room with Rudy.
Yes. And Christine Brennan, remember? Washington. Why can't I say Washington? The Washington Post journalist. Yep. Washington's a hard word to say, isn't it?
It is quite. Well, is it? I don't know, Sarah. I almost went to agree with you there. I went, I don't think it is.
Anyway, she's a journalist we mentioned earlier. She has changed her tune. She says Galindo deserved the title and he should have earned more points in his short program. I think that says in short skating, not short in stuff.
Short as in a tiny person like me.
Yes. She went as far as to say it's further evidence of the arbitrary and political nature of figure skating judging. From the US Nationals, it's on to the World Championship.
Oh my God.
World Championships, where he won bronze. He performed to Swan Lake. Is that your favourite or is it the Nutcracker?
Nutcracker. I love Swan Lake, but the Nutcracker is my favourite ballet.
Yeah, we've talked about ballet before and we never got given tickets to go, did we?
Please, can we have some ballet tickets, someone? Oh, look at us, those hideous people. They're like, hashtag ad. That'll be us.
Oh, yes. How we've changed.
The Arias have changed us, man.
They've gone to our head. Right. So to get to that point, he is obviously training really, really hard. And that proves a welcome distraction from unwanted public attention, because he's now got that because he's considered a gay role model. But the gay community, they're not happy with him after he won the bronze medal at the World Championships. And they're not happy because he's basically just continuing to ice skate and not raising awareness about gay issues.
So he kind of can't win. So he's being...
Well, they're going, we love you and we want you to be our role model, and a kind of accolade or a title that he hasn't asked for. And then when he doesn't do anything with that, they're like, well, we're not happy because you're not using that properly.
Oh, that's
awareness.
Hard. That's so hard. This is literally harks back to the Freddie Mercury episode that we did, where we were like, did Freddie Mercury actually want to be an HIV hero or an HIV activist? Did he want to be that? We don't think so, because he would have come out. He would have been open. And you shouldn't be forced to do these things, you know, and like Charlie Sheen as well. You can't make somebody do that. It's their choice. Of course, wouldn't it be great if people in these positions did? I understand that. But we can't make people do, you know, what they don't want to.
No, it's similar to Ryan White, isn't it? Mm. When he became the poster boy for HIV, you know, that wasn't his choice. That wasn't his decision.
Yeah.
It's just something that's placed on your shoulders and then you're expected to use it to your full advantage.
Yes.
Not a fantastic position to be put in.
No.
I don't think. I mean, he did take on board what the gay community said and he did start to focus on gay issues and try and link it in with his skating. So he wore a red scarf in the shape of a large red ribbon around his neck during one competition. So he's doing his best.
Yeah.
But I think it's quite tough to ask a professional athlete, this is their job, this is what they do every day, to say, well, could you just incorporate some other stuff in with what you're doing?
Yeah, can you just crowbar in some political issues, even though this isn't what you started off signing up for at all?
Yeah. I mean, he retired from competing in the summer of 1996. I mean, he's still involved in skating. So he's been a judge on Skating's Next Star in America. Probably like Dancing on Ice over here, isn't it? And he coaches as well. Then on April the 6th, 2000, Rudy disclosed in a USA Today interview that he was living with HIV himself. And he said, it's not a death sentence. Go out there. You do what you want to do. But he especially wanted black and brown gay men to hear that message. and he has since become an inspiration to people living with HIV. Go, Rudy.
He found it. He found his feet with doing the whole activist thing. Had to be his own terms.
Yes, yes. So he is an award-winning HIV activist. He speaks around the country, promoting the importance of health and wellness in queer communities. And he was declared a national treasure by Congresswoman Nancy Pelosi in a ceremony in March of 2000.
Love that.
So he's all the people we feature just seem to have boundless energy, don't they? And direction and drive. And, you know, this is what I'm going to do. And this is how I'm going to make a difference. But for him, well, we're done. It's job done. That's all you need to know about HIV and ice skating and the very talented Rudy Galindo.
I'm loving the Olympic series. I was a bit sceptical, Sarah, in the beginning. I was like, sport, really? But actually, you've made it very interesting.
Excellent. Now, you'll edit this down in your usual way, but I would like everyone to know that I've been sitting here now for 15 hours.
We have been here for so long. Oh, the tangents we've got off. if you're still here, well, people will still be here because I'll cut it down to a normal episode of 30 minutes. But for Sarah and I, we've been chatting for over an hour.
Is that all? Oh, it feels like much longer, Jess.
You'll have to be peeled off your chair.
And we're running into lunchtime. I've not eaten. I'm missing a meal.
It's been a good episode. I liked it. I like the ice skating. I like the tangents, even if you didn't.
There have been a lot of tangents. I don't think you'll include most of them in the episode, but there was a lot of chat about what we're wearing to the Arias.
Yeah, that I'm actually going to cut that out because people will just see what we decide to wear when we wear it. And it's not very interesting or to do with HIV.
That was quite a big topic. There were others as well, weren't there?
Yeah, there were many. We've gone off crazily. But anyway, I look forward to more sports and more Arias chat mainly.
No, let's not talk about the Arias too much. People are getting bored of it now.
I don't care. Like, I am going to talk about this. Might be our only opportunity ever to be or Arias nominated.
Thanks for listening to the HIV podcast. If you enjoyed our podcast, please like, rate and subscribe wherever you listen to your podcasts.
You can now also follow us on Instagram and TikTok at the HIV Podcast for behind-the-scenes insights and video. The HIV Podcast is produced by Thames Valley Positive Support.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term medical plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term medical plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.